Are you ready to talk Padres baseball?
We've got you covered.
Today, it's a travel day for the Padres as they head out to the East Coast for a pair of series. And back here in the AMR studio, we brought in Ben Higgins to impart his Padres wisdom and to get comfortable.
Blooper, I just realized this is an actual recliner. I had no idea. Maybe is it dangerous if I just start going all the way back?
As far as you can go, there's the...
There's a wall back there. I didn't even realize that.
We're also joined by Jordan Carruth, also talking Padres baseball and helping figure out whether that chair goes halfway back, three quarters of the way back.
Yeah, well, we need to figure out that ratio. I'm not very good at math.
Nor am I.
Now, broadcasting from the AMR studio, it's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines, with your hosts, Ben Higgins and Jordan Carruth.
Got a brand new combination on Padres Social Hour for you today, and it should be a fun one. Monday, travel day, start of the week, and the Padres looking to just keep winning series. That's all they've been doing lately. And, you know, Jordan, good things happen when you win series in Major League Baseball. Good to see you. You've got the couch. I've got the halfway reclining chair, but we're just going to talk some Padres baseball for the next hour and try to have a little bit of fun here in our AMR studios.
Perfect. Don't fall in that chair. There are some limitations to it. You can't go all the way back. On my side of the couch, I get plenty of room. I get the space. I get to kind of lean back and relax.
Yeah, this is a great chair, but if you wanted to take a nap, of course, the couch would be the choice to stretch out.
That would be the go-to.
You're not allowed to do that over the next hour. Look at that room. Just roomy couch over there.
It's beautiful.
You're not allowed to do that, though, because we got to talk some Padres baseball. And I figured since this is the first time this particular combination of hosts has ever sat together on the show, that we should kind of take some fresh eye look at this San Diego Padres season right off the top.
Okay, and, more big picture.
Yeah, let's go a little big picture here. After the Padres win another series against the St. Louis Cardinals, obviously they didn't get the sweep yesterday. That would have been nice, but the 10-3 loss prevented that. They've had chances to sweep, the last four series in a row. They've only completed one of them, but winning series is a good thing. And quietly, the San Diego Padres have kind of climbed their way back almost to .500, right back to the fringes of the National League West race. We're going to talk about that a little bit as this hour goes on. In fact, we are going to break one of Randy's cardinal rules later in the show. I won't tell you what it is, but we are going to break a Randy Jones rule. He will probably never forgive me. I'm going to have to pay double for barbecue the next time I go out there, but we're going to do that later in the show. But just give me your big picture as to where we stand now with the San Diego Padres.
Well, all of a sudden, there's a little bit more excitement with this team. The wins that you mentioned, potentially getting sweeps. Now that you say one of the last four, they could have had four over the last couple series, but I mean, I don't know if the expectation was to sweep away St. Louis. I know taking a series win from St. Louis is something that not many or any National League teams have been doing much of this year. So the fact that the Padres are able to take two of three, it's kind of just building that excitement. The what-if kind of moment so late in the season. We've seen some players being traded this month, but all of a sudden these wins are piling up. And you kind of group that with the fact that the Dodgers and the Giants have slowed down a little bit, seeing what happened to L.A. this weekend in Houston. Maybe you didn't just need a sweep of St. Louis, because going into that series over the weekend, you knew if the Padres took all three, they would get back to .500. But the fact that they take two of three, back to two games below, so there's definitely some idea that maybe you just want to get back to that benchmark. But the Dodgers and Giants, the way they're playing right now, it keeps the Padres very much alive.
Yes, and you know, my view is that the Padres baseball we've seen over these past couple of weeks is what I think we all expected over the course of this season. They've gotten some good pitching from the starters. You know, the bullpen has been pretty locked down, especially with Kimbrel and Benoit at the end. And now you've got some hitting. Matt Kemp has been what we expected. He's riding a 15-game hitting streak. He's hitting for power. They're getting contributions from other guys. Yan Hervis, Solarte, who we're going to hear from a little bit later as well on Padres Social Hour, who joined the crew over the weekend. He's been hitting. He's been contributing regularly. You're getting stuff all over the lineup. Even Melvin Upton has been hitting lately. So when it all comes together at the same time, and I don't know how many times we heard that. I think Kemp said it a bunch early in the season. I think Justin Upton said it a couple of times. We just all need to be playing well at the same time. The pitching staff and the hitting has to come together. Well, now it's done so. They're getting some offense. They're getting some good pitching. And you see what the results are. this is a winning baseball team. Maybe it's not overall, the record of the season is not a winning record yet, but right now what we've seen here in August is a winning baseball team, and if they continue to do that, there's no reason to expect that they'd fall back and become a losing, slumping team again.
Right, and it comes back to the consistency that you're bringing up, because that's been the difference all of a sudden for the Padres in these wins. And it really doesn't matter what sport you're talking about, Ben. It could be NFL, it could be Major League Baseball, NBA. You always have the conversations where you can use NFL, for example. Let's say the special teams aren't really performing up to par, but the offense looks great and the defense is mediocre, so everything's not clicking. NBA, maybe your offense is great, but no one can defend on the court and no one's able to rebound. You need everything going together. And now that the Padres have a little bit more consistency with that starting pitching, with that bullpen, and the offense, you bring up guys like Solarte and even Melvin Upton Jr., they're providing more offensively, and it's really set up the Padres to get right back to this 500 mark.
Yeah, so my big question now, is this simply a function of a team that had so many new parts that they needed a little more time to come together? Obviously, you had the managerial change in June, and I don't want to go back and, you know, argue a point again, but maybe they should have done that sooner, even before the season. Maybe they shouldn't have done it at all. Did that affect this turnaround, make it take longer, or could it have happened sooner had they made the move sooner? I'm not questioning the judgment of A.J. Preller and what he decided to do. I'm sure he knows what's best for his dugout. My question is, it finally looks like the team is comfortable in its own skin, and it's taken, unfortunately, more than half of the season to get there, but I think they finally have gotten to that point. And whether or not they can make a run here at the end of the year and get back into the race or challenge, you know, for a playoff spot in the National League West, I think it could bode well going into next season as well. They won't have those same growing pains that they had to, you know, suffer through for the first couple of months, the first 3 months of the season with a bunch of new guys and pitchers that weren't quite comfortable. You know, hopefully that carries over to next year, no matter what happens now.
And it's something that James Shields kept bringing up into the season and even well into the season beyond the managerial change. He would always reference Tampa Bay, and he would say, when we were with the Rays, we had a lot of new players together. It took us a while to gel. Kansas City being one of those teams as well, all of a sudden, it took some time for them to gel and get going. So it's kind of been one of those overarching storylines with the Padres this season. You kind of always had it in the back of your mind. Well, I mean, they're just going to need time, right? They're just going to need to get used to each other. The pitching staff is going to just need time because there was so much change in the offseason. It was kind of just one of those things that people kept in the back of their mind, and getting out of the gates pretty well and then plateauing a little bit into the season, that's when the thoughts really started to come back. Like, well, maybe they just need time to figure it out. You change the manager, but now it seems as if players getting more comfortable with Pat Murphy. Pat Murphy, from all reports, what a great weekend he had Saturday night. He was showing off those managerial skills, and they take a series against St. Louis. So maybe it is one of those things where these guys are starting to gel.
You know, I am looking forward to this road trip, and in particular this upcoming series against the Washington Nationals that begins tomorrow, for a number of different reasons. First of all, you got some terrific pitching matchups. James Shields against Steven Strasburg tomorrow.
Not
Tyson
bad.
Ross against Max Scherzer
pretty good
on Wednesday. And then finish it off with Andrew Cashner against Gio Gonzalez. You basically got the top three on each team going against each other in a series that's pretty critical for both teams. When you look at where the Nationals are, a team that was expected to perhaps challenge for a World Series title this year. They thought they had all the pieces. All of a sudden, they find themselves hovering around 500 as well, slumping, chasing the Mets in the National League East. You've got the Padres, a team that expected to do good things, struggled early, and now are rising up to that 500 mark and are also kind of hovering on the outskirts trying to chase down a team in the National League West. I find this series,
Ben,
to be very fascinating.
Are you saying that these are two ships passing in the night?
Well, I'm saying that if the Padres go into Washington and go this way, and the Nationals continue going this way, that's exactly what this series could be. Now, I'm sure the Nationals are hoping that they stop the Padres ship and turn it back around, and then they can turn their ship the other direction as well, because it's not too late for them. And as we come back and break Randy's rule, I'm going to talk about how it's not too late for the San Diego Padres either.
want to find out what this rule is.
All right, we're going to do that. You can also participate on the show socially via Twitter, especially. Love using the hashtag. I am always on the Twitter right here. Hashtag PadresSH if you want to contribute. You got some thoughts on the show today. In fact, we already had a contribution from an hour ago from Friar Fever regarding one of the other hosts of this program. He tweeted, I did not know that at Mike D. Grace was a member of the Pod Squad in 1998. The things you learn when looking up what time Padres Social Hour comes on. Well, hopefully you found out that the show started at 5:30. You got me and Jordan here, and yes, Mike Grace, 1998, what a great season. He was chucking souvenirs into the stands and keeping us all fired up for that National League pennant run.
Well, we all love watching footage of the 1998 season. I would love to see some of that footage of our boy Grace.
I would love to see that as well. I would absolutely love that. All right. Attention, Bruins and Trojans. Join us for UCLA versus USC rivalry night on Friday, September 4th as we celebrate this Pac-12 rivalry, one of the best on the West Coast. Enjoy a summer night of baseball as the Padres face the Dodgers. And with the purchase of a special ticket package, fans get to choose between a Padres hat and either UCLA or USC colors. Tickets only at Padres.com/rivalry night. We've had SDSU, USD, UCSD. A lot of UCLA and USC alums down here, so you get your night as well coming up. And coming up, we break Randy's rule. Jordan and Ben, Padres Social Hour continuing next.
We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. Jordan Carruth and Ben Higgins with you on this Travel Day Monday as Jesse and company head across to our nation's capital for a three-game series at Nationals Park, which has gained fame in recent years. Have you ever watched the Netflix program House of Cards?
I have.
They have a little Nationals Park in the opening title sequence there. So I've never been to Nationals Park myself. But
no? You haven't been part of the Natitude, Ben?
No, having seen it on the Potomac there with the lights on the House of Cards. Always ominous, you know, Frank about to pull something off on that show. So
always something going on there.
Hopefully Jesse can survive the politics of our nation's capital the next couple of days for the big series coming up. Let's get back to Twitter, Padres Social Hour hashtag, because 322 Foul Line has already noticed something about the two of us here on the show today.
Uh-oh.
He tweets, double up on the sock game, back-to-back Padres Social Hour. Hey. Jesse Agler is smiling somewhere. Yes, you've got the sock game working, a nice, I would call that an Argyle-style orange and blue pattern, very Padre-esque, some Padre colors in there. I've gone with the bacon and pig sock game today. We got bacon and pigs on my socks right there.
Now, it should be appetizing, but the fact that they're socks, it's tough for me to really get hungry looking at bacon strips.
That's true. But, we want to keep up the appearances, and, Jesse's always coming strong with the socks. So. Wanted to do so as well. 322 also had one more here. He mentions the strength of schedule is in our favor, more so in the second half. Why not the Padres? And that's what I wanted to bring up. So it is time to break Randy's rule. And Randy Jones has a pretty wise rule. It's something that Chris Ello and I have done on the radio pregame show as well. And the rule is you don't bring up the standings until your team is back to 500, because no one ever wins anything with a losing record. You got to get back to 500 before you can start looking at the standings. And normally, I do agree with that rule, but...
But you're getting excited.
I'm getting a little excited, and I thought today was the day, especially on an off day, that we're going to break the rule right now, and we're going to take a look at the National League West standings after the Padres have won, five out of the last six, four series in a row. Still in fourth place in the National League West, but look at that right column, the games behind first place, as the Padres have pulled within 6.5 games of the Dodgers in the NL West. It's still a big hill to climb, but you look at that win column, 67, 66 for the Giants, 62 for the Diamondbacks, 61 for the Padres. You got teams that aren't all of a sudden that spaced out. They're starting to bunch up a little bit, and all it takes is kind of one really good run, and things can shuffle up a lot in the National League West. So I started looking ahead, Jordan, and did you know the Dodgers are coming here to Petco Park in less than 2 weeks?
I did know that.
A week from Thursday for a four-game series at Petco Park. And right now they're 6.5 games behind the Dodgers. Well, what if the Padres could make up a couple of games before that spot. Get to, you know, within 4.5 of the Dodgers with a four-game series. I'm not saying the Padres are going to sweep the Dodgers. That's tough. You know, L.A.'s a good team. They got Zach Greinke and Clayton Kershaw. I mean, they got two great pitchers on that roster. But they're a team that's reeling right now. And wouldn't it be exciting if we had a weekend at Petco Park where not only were the Dodgers here, it was late season, but we went into that Thursday saying, you know what, they got a chance. They win all four. They win 3 out of 4. All of a sudden, you're going into the last 3 weeks of September saying, this is a pennant race again. And I don't think it's going to take all that much over these next 2 weeks. Some good baseball by the San Diego Padres to get there. Your reaction?
Well, my reaction is Padres obviously just going to focus on themselves. They want to get back to 500 before thinking about anything beyond that and making a run. The fact that the Dodgers and Giants are a little bit reeling, like you mentioned, makes it a little bit more interesting. You all of a sudden you get the soundbite in your head. So you're telling me there's a chance. This could actually happen. We'll see. I like to go off the losses in that win-loss column. So there's 7 back of the Dodgers. The interesting for me, though, with Los Angeles, the rumors are starting to come out and people are starting to talk a little bit more about Don Mattingly and the future that he has with Los Angeles and how maybe, potentially, there could be a change in the middle of the season to try to get them to push forward towards the playoffs. There's really some question marks on the teams that are currently sitting above San Diego.
Well, very interesting that the Dodgers brought in Ron Renicki
just a
couple of weeks ago as a third base coach in the middle of the season.
Hmm.
It kind of reminds me of the time when Pat Murphy was rumored to be going to the Brewers. Craig Council wanted him as a coach, and all of a sudden there was talk that the Padres didn't want him to go because – well, you know, maybe they might need him as a managerial candidate. Could the same thing be going on with the Dodgers right now, Ron Renicki and Don Mattingly? How long do the Dodgers go with this current swoon? I took the liberty of checking on the opponents for the Dodgers between now and when they come to town to face the Padres.
What do you have?
They've got 3 games at Cincinnati this week.
Okay.
Now, the Reds aren't one of the better teams, but the Dodgers have been a poor road team this year.
They were just swept in Houston.
Yeah, they have played very poorly on the road this year. They do come home 3 against the Cubs, who have been one of the hottest teams in baseball. Walked off win today on a Chris Bryant, USD, walk-off home run. And then 3 against the Giants. So you've got 9 games coming up. Dodgers against, you know, Cubs, a very hot team right now. Here's that Chris Bryant walk-off to beat the Indians.
2 outs in the ninth.
In the
game
bottom
over.
Of the ninth. Look at those Cubs fans. They're going to the playoffs. They can taste it this year.
Calling your shot?
Might just be a one-gamer and against the Pittsburgh Pirates, which is not an enviable spot to be in, but they're looking really good for a wild card spot.
And Cubs fans very happy with the Padres right now after this weekend against St. Louis.
Absolutely. And to be fair, you know, the Padres have to catch both the Giants and Diamondbacks too. Giants have the Cubs, Cardinals, and Dodgers in their next 9, and they haven't been playing great. Diamondbacks get the Cardinals for 4 starting today. So I know the Padres just took 2 out of 3, but, you know, perhaps an opportunity for the Padres to move up in the standings over these next couple of weeks.
As it stands right now on this Monday, the 24th of August, I think I'm a little bit more concerned with San Francisco than I am Los Angeles if I'm a Padre fan looking at those standings. There's a lot of question marks with Los Angeles right now, and it is going to be a very interesting month of both just finishing up this next week of August, but all of September.
I know. I am getting ahead of myself. That's why there is the rule in place. Randy's rule is in place so you don't get ahead of yourself on such things. Ultimately, the Padres have to continue to play the level of baseball that we have seen over the last couple of weeks, and that is hard to do over a month-plus period, and they're going to have to keep doing that. That's the first thing. That just gets them a chance with 2 series against the Dodgers, 2 more against the Giants left. But I would love a chance. You know what? It's been a long time since there's even been a chance in September, so I am rooting for it 100%.
I'm rooting just to see this team, the way it's constructed right now that they're back into this position that they're in, how are they going to respond in these series? Now they get through St. Louis, had they swept them and they were back to 500. Let's say they take the series in Washington and they get back to the 500 mark. All of a sudden, there's more pressure with all of these games. I'm curious how this team responds when the pressure is right back with them.
All right, we're going to talk about that coming up. Also, one of the guys leading the recent charge, Yanervis Solarte, hitting .330 in his last 27 games. Hey, since June, the end of June, hitting .309. He has been a solid, rock-solid member of the Padres offense. He had a chance to sit in that couch with Jesse a couple of days ago. If you missed it, we are going to have that for you when we come back here on Padres Social Hour. So Jordan and I go away temporarily. Don't worry. We'll be back. We will be back.
Yes, please stop worrying.
But Jesse and Jan Hervis and I believe Nikki are going to be sitting in those seats for a little translation when we come back. Looking for paradise? Maui Waui Hawaiian presents delicious made-to-order fresh fruit smoothies as well as adult beverage smoothies. Visit the new Maui Waui locations inside Petco Park, at the Park at the Park, or at the Mercado, also located in Oceanside, Camp Pendleton, and Temecula. Jesse with Jan Hervis Solarte when we come back on Padres Social Hour.
We're back to the show that gives you everything San Diego Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
One of the absolute best stories of this season for the Padres has been the play of Jan Hervis Solarte at third base and at the plate. And he joins us now on the Cholula hot seat. Appreciate Jan Hervis coming by. Try to make this as easy as possible. So we got Nikki here who's going to translate it in Espanol to keep this conversation going as well as we can. It looks to me like you're having a lot of fun right now playing baseball. How much fun are you having out there?
¿Cómo te estás divirtiendo allá afuera en el campo?
Demasiado. O sea, una cosa que cada vez que ya cruzo esas dos líneas, es a dar lo mejor de mí y tratar de jugar con todos los muchachos, que es el mayor reto que tengo cada día de entrar en una familia y divertirnos lo más posible.
He said so much, though, every time he crosses the foul line, he just wants to have as much fun as possible with his team and his family that's out there on the field.
It looks like that. You know, it doesn't just come across, I think, in your words, but in your actions as well. And I imagine being comfortable is a big part of that. How much more comfortable do you feel now as opposed to maybe a couple of months ago?
Si te sientes más cómodo hoy que unos meses.
No, yo siempre me he sentido cómodo desde que los padres me han dado la oportunidad de estar aquí. Yo siempre he estado con ellos y sea bueno o malo, siempre lo malo lo agarro para lo positivo y trato de estar en conjunto con ellos. La única diferencia es que ahora estoy jugando un poco más, me están dando más oportunidades y agradecido con eso, que es una de las cosas.
That even when he's playing bad, he tries to turn that into a positive no matter what, and that he's been able to play more, so that's why he's having more fun, because he's feeling more comfortable, that he's getting more at-bats, getting more playing time.
Yep, no, I think that makes all the sense in the world. What about last year, having to make the transition from the Yankees to the Padres and being traded in season? That can't be an easy thing to do. How long did it take you last year to feel a little bit comfortable, at least here in San Diego?
En el año pasado fuiste cambiado de los Yankees aquí, y, o sea, como eso era difícil, ¿cómo te sentiste de ese tiempo y ahora?
O sea, una de las cosas, cuando yo me cambio, yo nunca me esperé ese cambio. Yo dije, wow, me cambiaron ya jugando bien. Pero si es para bien, o sea, todos los cambios son buenos. Yo vengo de tres equipos ya y agarré el cambio. Cuando llegué aquí ya yo vi que la cosa era diferente, más tranquilo, el ambiente. En la ciudad me gustó todo, todo me hizo un cambio diferente y mira, gracias a Dios pude llegar aquí y abrir mis puertas aquí, otra oportunidad más.
That every you have to think that every change is going to be good in some sort of fashion. This is the third team he's been with, and he said he liked everything that he got here, this city, just the lifestyle here was just a little bit more chill, a little bit calmer, and so that's why he just felt like he fit in really well.
Yeah, no, we've heard that from many people over the years. Jan Hervis Solarte is here. Nikki from our office is helping us out with the translation for everybody. You've gotten some big hits, it feels like, as of late, batting right-handed, as a switch hitter. Is that all part of getting more at-bats, playing more, getting more opportunities to hit from the right side, that you feel more comfortable hitting from the right side right now?
¿Estás bateando más del lado derecho? ¿Cómo te sientes de ese lado?
Siempre me siento como de los dos lados, nada más. Si es cuestión de tiempo. Si uno agarra más pitches zurdo, uno se va sintiendo más cómodo. Pero, o sea, cuando ya pasa... Ya trata de ver pitches derecho, pitches zurdo, ya se hace más cómodo. Y lo que estaba pasando, ya vamos a ver cómo está esta serie, si ponen pitches zurdo derecho, pero seguir adelante, que todas las cosas están saliendo bien.
The pitcher, he's been seeing a lot more pitchers batting or hitting or sorry, throwing from the right side. So that's why he's been hitting on that side more. And so he feels more comfortable depending on where he's seeing the ball come from. So that's why he's been batting right.
Certainly makes a lot of sense. What about batting leadoff? That's a thing we've gotten to see a good amount from you this year. You enjoy being the first guy to come up in the first inning?
Bateando primero, ¿cómo te sientes de esa posición?
O sea, me gusta, trato de, o sea, ya de, de brindar la energía de una vez, empezando el inning, que es una de las cosas que más me gusta, de tratar de empezar con la chispa y seguir que el equipo continúe haciendo lo que hay que hacer. Pero sí me gusta y daré lo mejor de mí a hacer trabajo ahí.
He likes it because that's how the energy gets started. So that's what he wants. He wants to start every inning so he can get the energy going from the guys that are following behind him.
Do you feel a responsibility, whether you're leading off or not, to sort of bring, you know, some energy to the ball club? Because we've seen you do more and more of that this season.
Sí, te sientes responsabilidad de traer energía al clubhouse, al equipo.
O sea, son cosas que me salen a mí natural. Yo siempre de que llego al clubhouse, todo es una broma, todo es diferente. O sea, trato de estar con la sonrisa todo el día. Y bueno, ella sabe, ella me conoce, llega ahí. Pero, o sea, a lo que llego al terreno, ya trato de hacer mi trabajo. Y ya es una cosa que me sale natural y trata de que todos se sientan cómodos.
That to him it's natural. To him walking in the clubhouse to start with the jokes. That's very natural to him. And that, like he was saying, I talked to him a lot in the clubhouse, and so he was saying that I know because I see him walk in and he has jokes and he's always joking around with all of his teammates, and that's just the kind of that's natural for him, and that's how he likes to run through his process, is keeping it natural and as easily flowing as possible.
I think we've seen that again more and more this year, maybe even than last year. So I guess that brings us to the nickname conversation. This has been going on for some time. We started at slow Arte, but then you upgraded it to medium fast Arte, which I like that. I think that's it's more fair, if nothing else. And now the other day, El Nino. What was the story with El Nino the other day?
No sé dónde vino ese sobrenombre, pero ellos siempre están buscando. No sé dónde viene.
He honestly doesn't know, but that they're always trying to come up with new nicknames for him.
Well, anything's better than Slow Arte. It's better.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Sí.
Exactly.
Sí. Ese Slow Arte lo puso Norris. Norris.
Derek, yeah. Norris.
Yeah. Derek Norris. Middle Fast Aster.
Era tú.
Yo lo puse porque, o sea, por los triples que ya estaba dando, más todos los dobles. Ahora el niño, no sé, yo creo que lo hizo Amarista o McKen, uno de los dos.
He's saying that the medium fast Arte came because he was hitting lots of triples and doubles, and that he designated that for himself, that was his nickname he gave himself, and he thinks that El Nino came from either Matt Kemp or Alexi Amarista.
All right, well, we'll continue to try and work to get to the bottom of that. Speaking of the doubles and the triples, Matt Kemp's cycle last weekend in Colorado, you're on first base when he needs the triple. When you see the ball, you know, hit the wall, do you pretty much know, I gotta score here. I gotta get out of the way. A little extra pressure base running in that situation.
Yeah. Yo solo quería era anotar la carrera para que pudiera dar el triple. Yo lo más que pude fue correr. Gracias a Dios llegó, pudo llegar.
He just wanted to cross home plate because he knew that he wanted him to get the triple. So all he could do is just run.
Huh? Well, you ran perfectly all the way home and a big part of Padre history. Hey, congratulations on all the success. Thanks for hanging out for a few minutes with us. We really do appreciate this. And keep it up. It's been very fun to watch.
No, gracias a ustedes, ¿verdad? Por la entrevista y la oportunidad de brindarme. Dale que la fanaticada nos dé ese apoyo todos los días y vamos a dar lo mejor de nosotros.
He says thank you and that we need to keep working hard as a team so we can continue winning.
Absolutely love it. Great job by Yanhervis Solarte and Nikki on the Cholula Hot Seat. Cholula Hot Sauce will elevate the flavor of your food with its delicious blend of unique peppers and authentic spices. Cholula, the flavorful hot sauce with the iconic wooden cap and proud partner of the San Diego Padres. We'll take a break. Come back more from the AMR studio right after this.
Welcome back to the AMR studio. Live inside Petco Park, this is Padres Social Hour.
Padres Social Hour presented by United. Jordan Carruth, Ben Higgins back with you following our hiatus with Jesse Agler talking to Yanhervis Solarte, one of the hottest Padres on the team, in addition to Matt Kemp, who is also one of the hottest Padres on the team. Get to that in a second. One MLB note, Jordan, though. David Wright is back in the lineup for the New York Mets today. First time since April 14th. He's been out with spinal stenosis, which sounds
terrible.
Just sounds awful. Basically what it is, at least I'm not a doctor, but what I read, a narrowing of the spinal column that then causes like all kinds of impingements in the nerves. And as someone who's had a bad back at times, just absolutely awful. So glad to see David Wright back. Terry Collins put him in the cleanup spot right away. Just throw him right in. And in his first at-bat, David Wright homered. off Adam Morgan of the Philadelphia Phillies. And that is quite the game now. 9-7 Mets in the fifth inning there. So, interesting situation.
I can't get past the name of the injury. It sounds just awful.
It sounds terrible. I'm glad he's come back from it because there
How do you hit home runs after that?
There was some worry that it would be a career-threatening sort of ailment for David Wright. But very interesting dynamic for David Wright to come back. The Mets were not necessarily expected to be a big-time contender. And now he's returning to a team that has a five-game lead in the National League East over the Washington Nationals, who the Padres are getting set to play. I mean, the team has been playing really well without you. And then you think, well, you can only be better with David Wright. But this is a guy who has only been to the playoffs once in his career. Came up with the Mets in 2004, has spent his entire career with the team. 2006 was the only year the Mets have made the playoffs with David Wright. They swept the Dodgers that year while the Padres were losing to the Cardinals. Mm. And then they lost a seven-game series to the Cardinals in the National League Championship Series in 2006. And I believe Wright only hit about 160 in that series against the Cardinals. So, I mean, this is now 9 years. He's waiting for an opportunity, and he's jumping right back into it. It's a pretty interesting situation.
Well, mentally, if he was concerned returning to this Mets lineup, no more concerns. Very first at-bat, the home run. So all of a sudden, you can throw that out the window. He doesn't feel like he needs to work his way back into this lineup, feel his way around the teammates, see where he really belongs with this type of roster. I think if you come back like that, you're kind of, I don't know, it's not a drop the mic moment, but it's kind of a I'm back moment.
Yeah. The Mets had the best record in the National League back in 2006, and I believe they swept the young Matt Kemp's Dodgers in that National League Division Series.
And Mets fans this week going to be big Padre fans as the Padres go up against the Nationals.
Sure thing, sure thing. So I guess they'll be cheering for Matt Kemp to extend his hitting streak. That was the highlight of yesterday's game, which we haven't touched on that much because it just was one of those forgettable throwaway games that you occasionally get over the course of a 162-game season. Got off to a bad start. Things got away. Piscotty hit a couple of home runs for the Cards. All right, you lose 10-3. I was glad to see, though, there was a little drama left for me in the ninth inning when Matt Kemp came up and had not gotten a hit yet, riding a 14-game hitting streak, and he came through with that two-run single to extend his hitting streak to 15 games. And for some reason, I've always had this fascination with hitting streaks. I kind of like with the cycle that Matt Kemp finally got for the Padres last week. It doesn't really mean anything. I mean, obviously, you've been hitting well if you've got a hitting streak going. You can't really, I mean, unless you're going 1-for-5 every single night and you're hitting 200, you're probably, you know, hitting over 300 over the course of the hitting streak. But I don't know what it is. I've always just loved the fascination of those. And it's really weird when you go back in the history. The big one for the Padres, of course, was Benito Santiago. His rookie season in 1986, 34-game hitting streak, still stands as the record for a rookie and for the San Diego Padres. Tony Gwynn, who you'd think could roll out of bed and hit in 30 straight games, never had a hitting streak longer than 25 games in his entire career. That's like mind-blowing to me when I followed Tony's career because I can't remember him not getting a hit in games that I used to go to back at Jack Murphy Stadium, yet never had more than 25 in a row.
Yeah, that is a very surprising stat. Baseball's such a layered game. It's the, I don't know, it's the small things. It's the cycles, as you say, with Matt Kemp. It is extending the 15-game hitting streak. Hopefully he can do that. But it's definitely the small things. In a game like that especially, you've already taken the series. Obviously the sweep probably wasn't going to happen after those early innings here yesterday at Petco Park. So you do get to watch those random side notes that go on, and Kemp has definitely been one of those.
And part of it for me was growing up as a Padres fan, and especially in that era of Tony Gwynn baseball. There was 84, which was great, but then you had kind of a long stretch from 85 to the mid-90s when the team wasn't, you know, winning a ton. They weren't in contention. Yet every year you followed Tony Gwynn's chase for the batting title. And that just kept me so interested right until the last day of the season. Was he going to get past Will Clark on that last day? Was he going to hold off Andres Galarraga and win the title on the last day of the season? Was he going to threaten 400, which of course he was right in 1994 before the strike, the lockout, whatever, ended the baseball season early. It just always kept me fascinated in baseball. Even when your team wasn't in it, there was something for me to always keep following. And I love that about Tony, which is why he was clearly by far my favorite player growing up.
And you always need to identify something from each season. Like 98's an easy identifiable season for the Padres. But this year, we'll see how the chapters play out for the rest of the season with San Diego. But, I mean, looking a little bit more big picture, this might be the season that you remember as Matt Kemp finally getting the cycle for Padres franchise.
Oh, absolutely.
History,
absolutely. Right? I think I tweeted at the time, well, this season is an unqualified success now. I know the 2015 is always going to be, hey, that's the season they finally got the cycle. Whether or not, you know, if they make a run, obviously, you know, we'll remember it for other things at the end. But no matter what, I got that cycle, and I've been waiting for it my whole life, and I was just so happy when it finally happened. Just, I mean, I was watching, and as soon as it went off the bat to right center field, I thought this could possibly have a chance. And I think when the Padres signed Matt Kemp, it was one of the first things I thought, this is a guy who could actually hit for the cycle. This is a guy who could do it. And as that ball bounced off the fence awkwardly, you could ask my wife. I was jumping around. I was watching the game on TV. I was jumping around the house. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. She thought she had, you know, she thinks I'm crazy. What? You got a triple. What's so big about that? Oh, but he already had a home run, single and double in the game as well. Yeah, it's cool. I've been waiting my whole life for it, and it finally happened.
Yeah, a lot of storylines from this season. That's going to be one to remember.
Absolutely. I was even so much, I would follow the American League to see if Tony would have a higher average than Wade Boggs that season. That was important to me, too. I thought Wade always seemed to clip Tony a little bit in the American League many years, but overall, Tony was the better hitter.
So 15-game hitting streak for Matt Kemp. Do you care to jinx it? Do you want to make a prediction of where this goes? Are you worried about things like that?
I mean, it's hard to predict hitting. Like you said, it's so hard to predict hitting streaks. I mean, he's hitting well right now. I would expect him to get a hit tomorrow, even against Steven Strasburg. I think he's going to get a hit, yeah, and extend that hitting streak. But it'll come to an end, you know, probably pretty soon, because almost all hitting streaks do. I mean, you're always just one over away from the end of the hitting streak.
Right. It probably will come to an end.
Oh, absolutely. But
franchise history, do you think there's a chance? Is he making a run at it?
34? He's not even halfway there yet.
Oh, so we have to get to – now we're going back to the Randy Jones rules. We got to get back to 500 before we can talk playoffs.
Guess so. I don't know. But I've always enjoyed hitting streaks, and I believe me, I'll be paying extra attention when Matt comes up tomorrow to see if he can extend that, because it'll just be something I'm thinking about.
I'm right there with you.
All right, as your hometown pet retailer, Petco is proud to partner with the Padres and Petco Park. Thank you, San Diego, for sharing in our passion for pets and baseball. Petco, the power of together. Jordan Carruth, Ben Higgins with you. It is Padres Social Hour. We will be right back.
We're back with more of San Diego's number one source for everything Padres. It's Padres Social Hour, presented by United Airlines.
Back here live in the AMR studios inside the Western Metal Supply Company on a Monday. Travel day for the Padres. Three games against the Nationals and then three games against the Phillies. They have a little revenge that they need to get on the Philadelphia Phillies next weekend after, dropping those three straight to Philadelphia. That was kind of the low point of the season for the Padres, I would say.
That may have sparked them a little bit for the streaks that they've had since.
Hopefully. But it's a road trip, as we mentioned earlier. If you can just go 4-2, that would get the Padres back to 500. Then we wouldn't have to break Randy's rule when we talked about the standings. So 4-2 to me is the goal for the road trip. And if the Dodgers, hey, they go 3-3, you're only 5.5 games back. If they continue to struggle, do worse than that, who knows what you when you come back next week where you might be in those NL West standings.
And if the Padres do get back to 500, I expect every Padres Social Hour that involves Randy Jones to just be an hour of him breaking down Major League Baseball standings.
I would hope so. I know the Padres have been very supportive of the Sweetwater Valley Little Leaguers as they've made their run in Williamsport. And last check, they were up 6-3 in an elimination game against Rhode Island right now as they're trying to stay alive after losing yesterday. The Blue Bombers there in Williamsport. And I went up to San Bernardino, and certainly I've covered them a lot in my capacity as sports director at Channel 10. And I've been to the Little League World Series three times. I might end up being a fourth time if the team continues to win, but I find it to be one of my favorite events that I have ever covered. When I have gone there, I just find the whole thing to be kind of magical in the setting and the kids and the smiles and everything that goes on. But I know there's a lot of even baseball fans that don't agree with that sentiment.
Yes.
Silence over there, Jordan.
What are you looking at
me
for?
Not a fan of the Little League World Series,
are
you?
I'm a big fan of rooting for the local teams on stages like this. But, I mean, Little League World Series, it's it's fun to root for your local team. It's fun to rally around something, whether it's the Padres, whether it's a little league team, whether it's whatever team you want to bring up. It's always fun to root for whoever's coming out of San Diego. But it is an interesting moment of the year where we get a week of this tournament where we kind of go all in on it, and then we say goodbye.
See, now you want to be – you're like me. You want to be the nice guy. You don't want to put on the black hat here and say, you know what, I can't stand a Little League World Series. Kids getting too much attention, 12-year-olds shouldn't be on TV that much. It's just a glorified tournament for, you know, early puberty kids who hit the ball too far with bats that just spring off, and it's a home run derby.
It kind of is a home run derby, isn't it? It seems no matter where you hit the ball with the bat, that thing is leaving the ballpark.
I'll tell you what I love about the Little League World Series is that it is a true tournament that spans a couple of months. The only way to get to Williamsport is to win tournament after tournament after tournament. Sweetwater Valley had to win, 16 games in a row to get to Williamsport. I love that the fact that it is there's no other way to get there. You can't pay your way in. Some teams obviously have cheated a little bit, and I'm certainly not in favor of that. But ultimately, it's got to be the kids who live in your neighborhood, in your little league, and then they have to win their way to get there. And that's the only way to do it. And I love that. And it's not just the United States, but these tournaments are going on in every corner of the globe, from Australia to Africa to Asia to Europe. They're going on everywhere. And in the end, the best 16 teams come together and get to play this really cool tournament on this amazing field in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, that's kind of like the Field of Dreams cornfield out in Iowa almost, and you get a champion at the end. And I just think it's a really cool tournament with a great tradition. I would have loved to have had the chance, of course, like most kids, you know, never got that far when you did it, but you had that dream when you were little, and you get to see these kids who are fulfilling that dream today. So I have always loved it.
It's a fun time. We're all rooting for them. We hope they bring back the crown. Go out there, keep winning. Facing elimination. Now it's getting really serious. And you can't lose now. You got to keep going to stay alive in this tournament. Keep getting the wins. I think it was a grand slam today that they had.
Yeah, they went ahead. They were down 2-0, and then they scored 6 in the third, including a tie-breaking grand slam, which is just perfect for that team.
It's amazing the information they have on all these players. Whether the network that carries this tournament, I mean, they send 140, 150 people to cover this.
Yeah,
it's in one spot.
It's a grand enterprise.
It's a huge stage.
And you know what? They treat the kids so well. They have these amazing dorms that they stay when they're there with swimming pools and video games. I mean, it's like you've gone to some sort of magical kingdom. And then you get to play baseball games and be on TV. The kids are going to remember it for the rest of their lives. They give them like $1,000 of equipment each when they get there to take home. I think it's great. Now you want to go. You heard about the equipment, Jordan, and now
that should have
go.
Been used for the airfare to get them there.
Well, the kids and the coaches don't have to pay anything. They do fundraise for the families because it is expensive to get right over there, and the hotels are cheap, but yeah.
Just the scouting reports. I mean, we've heard broadcasters talking about it, be like, oh, you got to watch so-and-so, plus bat speed. You got power here. It's amazing the information that they provide for this tournament.
All right, don't forget to join the Padres for Pedal at the Park, a radio telethon and cycling event on September 12th, benefiting Pedal the Cause and local cancer research centers. Participate in a one-hour cycling class on the field featuring a DJ, Padres game, post-party, and more. To register, visit padres.com/pedal. And Jordan and I will be back to wrap up Padres Social Hour next.
From start to finish, it's the best 60 minutes of Padres talk you'll find anywhere. Now, from the AMR studio, it's more of Padres Social Hour.
All right, Travel Day Monday tomorrow. Make sure you tune in a little bit earlier. 3 o'clock Padres Social Hour to 4 o'clock. Leading right into the game in Washington. So get home early or set your DVR if you want to watch later. I'll be here with Kurt Bavakwa, but Jordan, I've enjoyed sitting here today. The first time ever the two of us have hosted together.
Yeah, this has been nice. This has been good.
Yes.
And I think we dug up some old history that we can
we
show
did.
People.
We started the show with a tweet about our friend who hosts, Mike Grace, and his 1998 stint with the Pod Squad. Well, Mike has tweeted in. He doesn't have video, but there you go, boys. Padres Social Hour. That is Mike Grace, 1998 Pod Squatter.
All right. So what's your favorite part of this picture? Is it the jersey? Is it the hat? Or is it the fact that he's holding two
wooden
bats?
Why is he holding two bats?
Two bats on each shoulder.
Two bats?
You get it, Grace.
You only wear the one bat.
You
it's
wear
a one
two.
Bat sport.
You pull the Grace, you use two wooden bats.
Why not just have two gloves on both of your hands? That wouldn't look weird.
I liked it, Grace.
For Jordan Carruth, I'm Ben Higgins. Pods and Nationals 3-game series starts tomorrow. Thanks for joining us on Padres Social Hour.